Welcome to the Gareth Cliff Daily Briefing for Monday the 8th of June. All is well. It's cold, but all is well. In South Africa, the immigration issue continues to escalate. More than 1,000 Nigerians now want repatriation from South Africa, mostly because violence has broken out and the mood is grim. Mozambique has joined Ghana in actively evacuating citizens. Commentators are asking if this is about nationalism. But ordinary people struggling to find work and increasingly unable to make use of deteriorating public services probably know deep down inside that it's about resentment and frustration, and they need a scapegoat. When the other, especially if they're a group who have no real rights or recourse in law, make for a convenient target, we all know what happens. And we all know a Malawian, a Nigerian, or a Somali who's genuinely afraid to move around South Africa freely. Now, if there was opportunity and real economic growth for South Africans, this probably wouldn't have become an issue. Last night, in a speech, the president said things that he hopes will calm the simmering conflagration. He mentioned new laws, stricter laws, and laws that he expects other government departments will be responsible to enact. We'll see if this makes the protesters call off all of their plans that were meant for the end of June. But what used to be a humanitarian issue is now a practical, political, and even an electoral issue. Cyril's response is the same strategy that he uses for everything. Wait until everybody is furious and then appoint a task team. Speaking of the president, the Palapala Committee begins its real work this week under Magashule Ghana. Now, I'll cut to the chase and I'll save you some time. The significance isn't whether Ramaphosa survives. He almost certainly will. The best we can hope for here is that the truth emerges from the evidence and the questions of the commission. It could be, as some speculate, a worst-case scenario involving foreign money, sanctions, political influence, or maybe it's just a bungled, incompetent comedy of errors about an attempt to hide dodgy cash in a sofa. Whatever comes of this, it's unlikely to boost the reputation of the president or his party. And don't forget, we have an election in less than 6 months. Greedy and venal and self-serving are the words that I can think of right now to describe even the most generous conclusions that the average South African will draw. If you have enough money, it seems most of the political class are up for sale. Just like strippers. Except strippers are earning an honest living. The big news in AI is that ChatGPT crossed 1 billion monthly active users. That is faster than any product in history. It also seems that the chip shortage isn't ending anytime soon. Jensen Huang and SK Group are announcing deeper cooperation while warning that global AI demand continues to outstrip supply. The chips are needed for compute, which in turn gives the AI models the processing power that they need to perform the tasks the world increasingly needs at scale. As I've mentioned before, the amounts of money being spent and leveraged are staggering, and more cautious analysts are warning that a bubble could burst if there aren't real-world returns in the near future. If you compare this to the gold rush of the late 1800s, the prospectors aren't the winners yet. It's the people who make the picks and shovels at this stage. While we're on the ever-present subject of AI, the adjacent tech industry is holding its breath for the largest IPO in history. Reuters reports that SpaceX is preparing for a NASDAQ debut with a valuation approaching $1.75 trillion. That is larger than the GDP of most countries. One private company, less than 25 years old, and worth more than almost every nation on Earth. Like I said, the number of zeros here is actually outrageous. To help you understand a trillion, or to picture it, a trillion is a million millions. And here's something that'll give you a sense of the scale of things. 1 million seconds is 11 days. 1 billion seconds is 32 years. 1 trillion seconds is about 31,710 years. So $1.75 trillion is, you know, just enough to buy a space to park your car in Clifton. And for those who think the World Cup is about to be the biggest crowd puller this year, I'm afraid you've already lost. Pope Leo drew an audience of 1.2 million people in Madrid this weekend. Not online, not watching on TV, not streaming it from somewhere, real people in one place. We live in the most technologically advanced age in human history, and millions still gather to hear religious leaders speak. In fact, an emerging trend among young people in the Western world is the move toward religion rather than away from it. Collective wisdom over the past century has been that people would increasingly turn away from organized religion, becoming either agnostic or atheist, or turning into a non-specific kind of spirituality. Well, that seems to be another false prediction, mostly fostered by the intellectual class. The religious people obviously didn't get the memo, and maybe ordinary people are actually smarter than the intellectuals. Proving that precise point, Britain's political establishment continues collapsing. Reform UK and even Restore Britain keep growing in the wake of the migration crisis and in the wake of last week's Henry Novak story. Keir Starmer and liberal commentators have taken to demonizing justifiably angry British citizens by calling them divisive in an attempt to excuse the problem that Labour and the Conservative Party, as well as the media, have created. They're still singing from a hymn sheet that hasn't been updated since the early 2000s, and it is clearly not landing with the British public. What the out-of-touch Starmer doesn't seem to understand is that the last 30 years of uncontrolled mass immigration has got to a critical mass, and that flashpoints are likely to make an already angry and dissatisfied population take action. You can't blame them for that action if you're not prepared to talk about why they're angry. In Iran, the biggest crisis might not be the military situation or the passage of oil through the Strait of Hormuz, but a deepening food crisis. The United Nations has now warned that 45 million people could be pushed into acute hunger in Iran. The value of the currency, the rial, is now effectively zero. Hyperinflation, soaring poverty, and the supply of basic foodstuffs has made the lives of ordinary Iranians untenable. While the leaders of the country refuse to make a deal with Trump, pressure within the country is making their leadership, whatever that is, precarious. If you're keeping up with the maths today, that means that SpaceX and Nvidia are worth more than 300 Irans. And South Korea went to the polls last week and there was a ballot shortage. Thousands of protesters in Seoul are demanding a rerun of local elections after 50 polling stations ran out of ballots. Voting was temporarily suspended at 22 locations, and the head of the National Election Commission resigned. So politicians complain about threats to democracy, but it appears even in organized, efficient countries like South Korea, they can't ensure their own elections are free, fair, or trustworthy. It used to be the case that only banana republics like Zimbabwe needed international election observers and checks and balances. But voters all over the world are questioning the processes and outcomes of every election. Here's a quick update from the interminable Russia-Ukraine war. A Russian drone reportedly hit infrastructure near nuclear fuel storage sites in Chernobyl, and this is not the first time. Vladimir Putin also rejected Zelensky's offer of a face-to-face meeting. He called the proposal boorish after the Luhansk dormitory strike that Moscow blames on Ukraine. The pattern is that both sides speak about negotiation, but neither side wants to talk because it could look like weakness. Both sides talk about peace the way divorcing couples talk about reconciliation, loudly, publicly, but with no real intention of doing it. Interestingly, the Associated Press's Russia team says Putin is facing pressure from a faltering economy, discontent over the war, internet restrictions, and a rare approval dip. So keep an eye on what's going on the inside, too. In case you thought the Swiss army consisted only of Vatican guards in Renaissance fancy dress and complicated red pocket knives, it will surprise you to know that Switzerland is deploying up to 4,000 troops for the G7 summit in France. Switzerland and France have agreed to a joint military plan to secure Lake Geneva and airspace for the 15th to 17th of June summit. Famously neutral Switzerland, putting thousands of troops on alert, tells you that global tension is now institutionalized, even in the supposedly secure, wealthy mountain sanctuary. The Swiss are checking the locks. Back in South Africa, household debt has hit 2.4 trillion rand. That's an important number because it connects directly with your cost of living pressures, weak consumer demand, and why the economy feels worse than the macro headlines suggest. People aren't only poorer because prices are high, many are already pre-spent on debt. The middle class isn't broke once a month, it's broke in installments. Effectively, that means that you're borrowing from the next generation, which we have no right to do. Last month, we told you that South Africa's first quarter GDP may look modestly positive, but economists warn that the pain only appears in the next quarter. GDP data due this week may show around 0.2% year-on-year growth, but that won't yet reflect the Iran war oil shock and fuel price damage. It's the calm before the invoice. South Africans have now tightened their belts so tight that we don't need Ozempic. Looking at all these stories, from South Africa to South Korea, from Iran to Britain, people seem to be demanding the same thing. Results. Not narratives, not touchy-feely stuff. Results. Reality remains stubbornly indifferent to our excuses. Join us tomorrow for another Gareth Cliff Daily Briefing. Remember, it's free for now, but we'll be charging 48 Rand a month soon, and don't be surprised. If something is free, it probably doesn't have any value, and 48 Rand is just a good cup of coffee, or 268 million Iranian rials.